Let's talk China. Top U.S. officials are in Beijing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, in for Steve Chiatakis. Top Obama administration officials are in Beijing today. The headline goes to China's president, who says the country will strengthen its currency when it's ready. A strengthened yuan could help lower our trade deficit. Arthur Kroeber is the managing director of Dragonomics, a Chinese economic research firm. Joins us now from Beijing. Thanks for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
We're getting some mixed signals on the currency. Doesn't seem like we're getting really a clear message from either the Chinese or the U.S. What do you make of that?
Well, the Chinese are a little bit concerned right now because of the downward movement of the euro. And basically, as long as they see that kind of instability going on, they're not going to do anything on their currency.
It does seem, though, like we've had a lot of these high-level meetings, and the issue of the Chinese currency is always brought up, and nothing ever seems to get done.
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to understand that there was a feeling that people had gotten obsessed with this relatively narrow issue, and we're losing sight of the bigger picture story of broader global economic governance issues that both China and the United States have a big stake in. So I think basically this is just a way for the top leaders to keep the channels of communication open on issues that cannot be addressed or solved in a short period of time, but just need slow, persistent effort over months and sometimes years.
I know that one of the issues that's come up is allowing more interaction between U.S. companies and China. Do you think that that's significant here?
Yeah, I think the big issue for U.S. companies here is definitely market access. The problem is if you're a U.S. company and you don't have a big footprint in China, how do you get to play in this market? And that's still a very serious unresolved issue.
Arthur Kroeber, managing director of the Chinese economic research firm Dragonomics, joining us from Beijing. Thanks so much, sir.
My pleasure.
And let's check stocks. Shares in Asia close mixed. Tokyo's Nikkei down about 0.25%. In Hong Kong, the Hang Seng finished up 0.6%. Europe markets lower on concerns the debt crisis there will go on. Wall Street closed higher on Friday after a bad week. Australia has proposed a 40% tax on the profits of big mining companies. It's similar to the windfall profits tax that's been proposed for big oil companies in the U.S. But the world's biggest mining company, Rio Tinto, is threatening to review its investments down under if the tax is enacted. For Marketplace, the BBC's Nick Bryant reports from Sydney.
It's a 40% super tax on what the Australian government is calling the mining company's super profits. And not surprisingly, the resources giant Rio Tinto isn't too excited about it. Tom Albanese is Rio Tinto's chief executive and has now warned the government that the company's money and jobs could go elsewhere.
It does change the relative attractiveness of Australia versus the other countries that we do invest in.
The Australian government says it wants even more benefits from the large amounts of money being made from selling Australian resources. But Albanese says the tax is punitive.
The mining industry has been a good industry for Australia, and certainly it's contributed to keeping Australia out of the recession during the past global financial crisis.
With an election just months away, the Australian government was convinced its super tax was a surefire winner. But now it's agreed to discuss alternatives with the mining companies, arguably Australia's most powerful lobby. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Nick Bryan for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at gotomeeting.com/market. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
If a golden parachute is not in your future, would you settle for one that's green and khaki? It seems the National Park Service is the new it place for green jobs. And as Gigi Duban reports from the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, getting one of those jobs is no walk in the park.
Take me to the prettiest place in the park. Show me the best waterfall. Those are questions Carrie Jones gets asked dozens of times every day at Great Smoky Mountains National Park. The other question he hears all the time?
How do I get a job here? How do I get a job in environmental education or in the wildlife?
Jones is a park ranger. He retired, then recently returned as a seasonal employee. As a ranger, he gets paid to hike through the woods, point out the difference between a black-capped chickadee and a Carolina chickadee. Jobs with the National Park Service have always been competitive, but recently the government agency has been flooded with applicants. In the Washington office alone, they're getting four times the number of applications than they did just a few years ago. One of those hopefuls is Jenny Bradbury. Bradbury is 25. She works at a real estate office renting cabins in nearby Gatlinburg. On her days off, she'd volunteer at the park.
I feel like I learned a lot about the park and did some good networking.
It paid off. Bradbury just landed a job as a forestry technician with the Park Service. She has a degree in wildlife ecology, so for her, spraying plants and treating infested trees is exciting stuff. Her job is seasonal, so she won't have health insurance, and it pays just $15 an hour. But
you can make a difference, and it's nice to be outside and hike. I'm sure it'll be a lot of hard work, but probably rewarding work.
And for young people, rewarding work is what it's about, says Ryan Paw. He's co-founder of BrazenCareerist.com.
They want a work life that sort of enhances their personal life, and they're willing to take a lower salary because of that.
For Jones and Bradbury, 6 months of seasonal work is still work. And when that's up, they'll both be competing for another stint with the Park Service. In the Great Smoky Mountains, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, the White House is getting a facelift. Construction crews have started the biggest renovation since the Truman era. The cost is $376 million. That's more than 100 times what it cost to build the White House. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.